Message this morning, I want to look at, think of something that was inspired by a song that Myron led. Started out a couple months ago, he started with the children singing the song, There Were 12 Disciples. And I thought of that, he said, I know when he mentioned it, he said he would be glad if we could, the children could learn the names of the 12 disciples and be able to recite them. So maybe, Myron, if you would lead that song now, and then we're going to look at a little bit of the life of the 12 disciples this morning.
There were 12 disciples, Jesus called to help them, Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, his brother, John. Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon's Nicholas, Judas, and Bartholomew.
Jesus calls us to.
We are his disciples, I am one and you.
Jesus calls us to.
We are his disciples, we his work must do.
So who were Jesus' disciples? What did they do? What were they called for? What was their purpose? Why did Jesus have 12 disciples? Were they special men that had spent years in training for this? I think we know, you know your Bibles. No, they were not. They were ordinary men that were going about their activities each day. They were ordinary men that had jobs that Jesus called and asked them to follow him. I want to look at these, a little bit at these 12 men, some of the things we know about them. And children, I think we're going to, as we get to each one, see if you can remember which one comes next. And see if you can, maybe you can help remember some things about them. There was several of Jesus' disciples that had the same occupation. Does anyone want to say what that was? What they did for a living before Jesus called them to follow him? Yes, in the back.
Fishing.
Fisher, okay. Yes, Jesus called fishermen to follow him. Does anyone know how many were fishermen or how many fishermen there were that were following Jesus? Well, I think the first several that Jesus called were fishermen. But now, going back to that song that you have memorized, what's the name of the first disciple that's mentioned in that song? Josiah. Simon Peter, okay. Simon Peter. Simon was a fisherman. He was one of the ones that did fishing. He's probably the disciple we know the most about because he was a very talkative, a very outspoken, bold disciple. You can turn to Matthew 14. We're going to look a little bit at the life of Peter, a few things about Peter that, things that you know already, things you've read about the Bible, but Peter was bold. A lot of times he spoke without thinking, at least it would seem that way. He was outspoken. He was from, lived around Galilee, lived in one of the villages along the Sea of Galilee, and he was a fisherman, and Jesus called him to follow him. But here in Matthew 14, this is after he was following Jesus for some time, and they were This was just after Jesus had fed the 5,000. He had performed a great miracle. They had sent away the people had left, and they were leaving to go to the other side. The disciples, I'll start reading verse 22 and read to verse 33. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Notice Peter in this story. The disciples were afraid. They were in the middle of a storm, and then they seen this strange sight, someone walking on the water. And Jesus then spoke to them. Notice who's the first one to respond. It's Peter. He's the one that seemed a lot of times he always wanted, needed to have an answer. He needed to say something. So he said something. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. I don't know what went through his mind when he said that, but he was testing Jesus. He's like, is it you, Lord? If it is, tell me to come out there. And seemed like he fearlessly just jumped overboard. He was ready to go walking to Jesus. He immediately, maybe even without thinking about what was happening, got out of the ship and started walking to Jesus. But then we see him quickly, maybe just as quickly, realizing what was going on and what he was actually doing. Here he was walking on the water, and he became afraid. He seen the waves, and we see his faith in Jesus vanishing quickly, and he started to sink. You see similarities in your life. Are you quick to jump at things and then just as quick to second guess why you did it? Peter is probably, if so, Peter's probably someone you can identify with. He was a man that was made bold moves, and that was a weakness, possibly a weakness of his, but it also was a strength. Later in life, we see that, and we'll look at that a little bit. You know, turn over to Matthew 16, another very familiar account of Peter and his response. Jesus again asked a question. In this account, Jesus asked a question. I'm going to read from verse 13, starting at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and another Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. I think I'll stop there. We could keep reading. There's a few thoughts in the verses after that about, and Jesus taught his disciples then about taking up their cross and following him. See, Peter was the first one to answer Jesus' question about who they said he was. The other disciples, they were saying who other people thought Jesus was. They were quick to fill in, give their opinion on what other people thought of Jesus. But when Jesus asked them, "Whom say ye that I am?" Peter was the one that answered. He was the one that spoke up. He boldly declared that Jesus was the Son of God. In the verses following this, in verse 22, see in verse 21, that Jesus began teaching his disciples about how he would need to be killed. He would go through a lot of trials and be killed and raised again the third day. In verse 22, it says, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." So he boldly declared Jesus was the Christ, but then he was quick to rebuke Jesus as well when he thought Jesus was talking about things he didn't see fitting his plan for Jesus. Again, we see that he was a bold person. Jesus took this opportunity to teach his disciples that the Christian life is not all about this life and an earthly kingdom, but it's a life of self-denial. And in verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So Peter was quick to recognize Jesus as the Christ, but it takes more than just that. It also takes laying down our way and our life and accepting what Jesus has for our life. Peter was wanting to tell Jesus how Jesus' kingdom should look. Jesus taught here we need to lay down our will and submit to his will. And I think Peter did that. You look later in life after in the book of Acts. Peter was instrumental in the early church. He was a leader, one that led out, that took charge of situations. You think of the time when Ananias and Sapphira came into before Peter, and how he was bold. But God used him in those times to lead the church. It was through Peter that God revealed the gospel was for the Gentiles. He was influential in the early church. One other account, I don't think we'll turn to it, but in John 18, Peter was the impulsive one that drew his sword and struck off the high priest's servant's ear. You remember that. And then in John, I guess it would have been before that, but in John 13, how Jesus was coming to wash their feet, and he came to Peter, and Peter was again, "You're not going to wash my feet, Lord." But then he quickly changed his mind. He was one who, he was teachable, but he was bold. Let's, like Peter, as we find ourselves, if we have those tendencies of boldness, let's use it for God's glory. Let's be willing to submit to Christ leading in our lives and deny ourselves and take up his cross and follow him. Tradition says that Peter was crucified, and when he knew that he was to be crucified, he asked to be crucified upside down because he said he was not worthy to die in the same way his Lord did. He was one who felt unworthy to die like his Master. So what's the next disciple in the song that we sing? Trayvon.
Andrew.
What do we know about Andrew? Does anyone know something that we know about Andrew? Anyone? He was related to someone. Okay? He was a brother to one of the disciples, not James, though. Okay, he was a brother to Peter, Simon Peter. So Andrew was Peter's brother. But I think he had a little bit of a different personality. He seemed to be a little milder, quieter, maybe. But let's turn to John chapter 1 for a little thought, a few thoughts about Andrew. And we'll start reading at verse 35. It's talking about John the Baptist. And the interesting thing I see here is that Andrew was one of John the Baptist's disciples. He was a follower of John the Baptist. Again, the next day, John stood and two of his disciples. And looking unto Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So John was telling two of his disciples that here is the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He said unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is, by interpretation, a stone. So Andrew was following John the Baptist, and John introduced him to Jesus, and Andrew began to follow Jesus. The interesting thing is, when he realized who Jesus was, he went and found his brother Peter. So Andrew was instrumental in introducing Peter to Jesus. Andrew was one who told others about Jesus. Maybe a little thought from that. He was introducing other people to Jesus, to the Messiah, to the Christ. In John 6, the story of the feeding of the 5,000, it was Andrew that found that little lad with the lunch and brought him to Jesus. When he found someone who had something that could be contributed or that needed Jesus, he brought them together. Maybe just a thought of there. Are you like Andrew? Are you bringing other people to Jesus? Are you telling your brother about Jesus? When you meet someone that doesn't know Jesus, do you tell them about Jesus and bring them and say, like Andrew did, "We have found the Messiah"? Andrew was willing to tell others about Jesus. Again, history tells us that Andrew spent a lot of time preaching in Macedonia and up into Greece. It says he was crucified in Greece, apparently tied to the cross, not nailed to it, but he hung there for 3 days on the cross before he died. It says that he preached from the cross as long as he could. He was telling others about Jesus yet when he was dying. Let's, like Andrew, be willing to tell others about Jesus. What's the next disciple in the song that we sing? There's actually two of them, and the song tells us how they're related. You can give both of them. Trayvon?
James
and
John.
James and his brother John. We'll look a little bit at James and John. A lot of times they're talked about together. They were brothers. They were part of the three that were up on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John. Those three seemed to be, could you say, Jesus' special disciples or closest disciples. Possibly they were first cousins. James and John were first cousins to Jesus. If you look at the resurrection story and some of that, it seems like James and John's mother may have been Mary's sister. And turn to Mark 10 for a little bit on James and John. Maybe something that was a weakness of theirs, or something that was not a valuable character trait of theirs. In Mark 10, we're going to read verses 35 to 45. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard of it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, Ye know that they which are counted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, for whosoever shall be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. James and John were wanting position. They were asking for recognition by Jesus. They wanted to be important in Jesus' kingdom. They wanted to sit right next to him, one on the one side, one on the other. We see that little children today, they want to sit beside their heroes. And I think that's what James and John were doing. They were wanting to sit beside Jesus. They were aspiring to be like him, but Jesus taught them that to be like him, you're going to need to be servant. You're going to need to be a servant. Jesus taught, whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. Greatness in Christ's kingdom is being willing to be a servant, being willing to do the little things without being recognized. I think James and John learned that. They had some things that Jesus needed to teach them. And I believe they learned that. It seems like they listened to Jesus and his teaching changed their thought. James died in the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 2. It says that Herod killed James with the sword when he was trying to please the Jews. He killed James, had him killed, beheaded, and an early historian, early church historian, tells a story of that happening. And the man who led James to the judgment seat for trial, when he saw him bearing testimony, was moved and confessed that he himself was also a Christian. They were both therefore led away together, and on the way he begged James to forgive him. And James, after considering a little, said, Peace be with thee, and kissed him. And thus they were both beheaded at the same time. You see, James was willing to forgive. When the man who had been helping to bring about his execution was converted, he was willing to forgive him. He was willing to show him love in his last hours. And they were both martyred together. What about John, James's brother? James and John, another thing about them, what was their nickname? Does anyone know what their nickname was? What Jesus called them at times?
Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder, okay. Turn to Luke chapter 9 for a little story about this. seemed like maybe they had a temper or were a little bit, at times, were ready to lash out at those who were not favorable to Jesus. Luke 9, I'm going to read verses 51 to 56. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. So these two brothers at times had a temper. They were, when these people didn't accept Jesus, they were ready to call down fire from heaven. They wanted to destroy these people. But notice again, Jesus took the opportunity to teach them. He said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Jesus' mission here on earth was not to destroy men, was not to destroy or tear down, but to show them kindness and love. Are we doing that today? Are we showing others kindness, or are we tempted to destroy people? Are we tempted to talk about them, tell others what they did wrong to us, and destroy their character, destroy their reputation? Or are we willing to show love, to just quietly move on to the next village and instead of calling down fire on people? John wrote the Gospel of John that we know well, and the letters 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and also the book of Revelation. History would tell us that he's probably the only disciple that died a natural death. He was, although he was sent to the Isle of Patmos and spent years there writing, and history tells us he died an old man, but he was one of Jesus' disciples that learned from the things that Jesus taught him. What's the next disciple that we're looking at? When we think of that song, it's the next one that you come to. If we get stuck, maybe we'll have to sing the song again. Trayvon. Philip. Okay. Who was Philip? We turn to John. John chapter 1. Talks here about two disciples. I'll read a few verses here. We won't read them again when we get to the other disciples. So be thinking about the two disciples that are in focus here. John 1, verses 43 to 51. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and said unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Philip was called directly by Jesus. Jesus found Philip, it says here in these verses, and said unto him, follow me. But then he was bringing others. Like Andrew, he brought other people to Jesus. He brought Nathanael to Jesus. Philip was tested by Jesus in the story of 5,000. Jesus asked him, he said, where are we going to get the food to feed these 5,000? And Philip was trying to figure that out. He said, well, even if we spend 200 pennies worth of bread, it's not going to be enough to go around. I think Jesus was testing. It says there that Jesus was testing him. How is it for us when we face a situation that we don't have the answer for? Are we tempted to try to come up with a plan on our own like Philip did, and, you know, figure out how much money it's going to take to buy food for everyone, or do we ask Jesus for help? Maybe a small lesson we can learn from Philip, to trust Jesus, trust him that he will provide for us, trust him that he will provide our need. Who's the next one? Josiah. Thomas. Okay, what do you know about Thomas? What's his nickname? Maybe he had a few nicknames. What do we know about him? What's his, the adjective that goes before his name sometimes? Doubting Thomas, okay. Doubting Thomas, John 20. I'm going to just read those verses. They're familiar to us, but it's the account after Jesus was raised from the dead. John 20, verses 24 to 29. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Jesus had just revealed himself to them and showed them. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach thither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Are you a doubter this morning? Do you need to have proof for everything? Like Thomas, he said, I'm not going to believe that until I see it. And putting it in my own words, but isn't that basically what he said? I won't believe it until I see it. Jesus wants us to have faith. He wants us to believe what he tells us by faith. It takes faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Do we have faith this morning, or are we doubting like Thomas and willing to question what God tells us in his word? There's many things in the Bible that we have to accept by faith. It takes faith to understand and believe that. Let's keep moving on. We have a few more. We're only half done, but there's a few of them we don't know much about. Who's the next disciple? In the back. Matthew. Okay. What did Matthew do for a living? Before Jesus called him, what did Matthew do? Well, Matthew was a tax collector. I don't think we're going to take time to turn to it and read about that, but he was a tax collector. He was one who took the money from the Jews and gave it to the Romans. So he was working for the Romans. The tax collectors were despised people because they, a lot of times, were dishonest. If you remember the story of Zacchaeus, He was a dishonest tax collector, publican, and the Jews despised them. But Jesus called a man that was despised and asked him to follow him. Jesus is no respecter of persons. He doesn't pick people out because of who they are and what they've done in their past. I do believe that, I'm sure, that Matthew, if he was a dishonest tax collector, I believe he made his things right, like Zacchaeus did. I don't believe he continued being a dishonest tax collector after he was following Jesus. I'm sure he repented of it. But Jesus can call sinners. Are we tempted to sometimes look around and see people that we think are too sinful to follow Jesus? Let's not do that. Jesus called Matthew, a man that was looked down on and despised. He's an example of a disciple that came from an unlikely background. He's not what you would think of when you think of what the type of people that Jesus was looking for to be his disciples, the people to teach others about him. Don't feel like you are too unworthy to be used by Jesus. He can use you no matter what background you had. Now, we're going to go three at a time for the next three. Can someone name the next three? Or the next one or two.
Son of
Alphaeus. Okay. So we have two Jameses. This one's the son of Alphaeus. Who's the next one? Should we sing the song again? Go ahead. Let's sing it, Myron.
Disciples Jesus called to help him, Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, his brother John,
Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, his Judas, and Bartholomew. Jesus calls us to, Jesus calls us to, we are his disciples, I am one of you. Jesus calls us to, Jesus calls us to, we are his disciples, we his work must do.
Okay, so James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, and Thaddeus. And these three disciples we don't know much about. They're mentioned by name. Simon was also, at times, was called Simon Zelotes. Maybe that was a way to keep him separated from Simon Peter. Thaddeus was also called Judas, the son of James, or Judas not Iscariot a couple times, but we don't know much more about them. There was one time Thaddeus asked Jesus a question, but we don't know much about these men. They were men that served Jesus. They were faithful disciples, but it seems like they were probably behind the scenes, not doing a lot of out front, important things. So maybe the lesson we can learn from them is that not all of us are called to be a Peter. Not all of us are called to be James and John. But let's be faithful where God calls us, where you're at in life. Filling the lowly tasks, the things that God has asked you to do now. Let's be willing to be used there. They were important men. Those three men are part of Jesus' 12 apostles, but we don't know much about them. Let's, like that, be disciples that are willing to be used where God has called us. Okay, the next one, number 11, Judas. Judas was a man that had a lot of opportunities. His teacher was Jesus, the perfect example. He had great possibilities to be used in God's kingdom, and he was a man that had a choice, and he chose the wrong thing. He turned his back on that teaching, and instead, for a little bit of money, was willing to sell his allegiance to Jesus and lose his own salvation. He was willing for money to turn his back and deny and betray his Lord. Peter also denied his Lord. There are two similar things. They both denied, betrayed their Lord, but their response is so different. Peter repented and was forgiven. Judas went out and took his own life. Judas was a man that had potential, could have been used in God's kingdom, but instead turned his back on it. Let's take that as a warning. He had a lot of things going for him, but he chose to turn his back on it. When we realize we've done wrong, denied our Lord, sold our commitment to following Jesus, or grown cold, we need to repent like Peter did. Never take the road that Judas did of choosing to take his own life because of his own choices. His eternal destiny was sealed. Bartholomew is the last one that we sing about in that song. Now, I gave a little bit of a clue, but what's another name we know Bartholomew as? I mentioned that I was going to read a passage that talked about two of the disciples, and we didn't mention that other disciple by that same name, but his name was also, he was known as Bartholomew and by another name. Does anyone remember? It was in John chapter 1. We read about Philip, I believe it was Philip, that brought Nathanael to Jesus. Nathanael and Bartholomew is the same disciple. And there in John, Jesus knew Bartholomew or Nathanael's heart before he ever talked to him. It said, "I seen you under the fig tree and knew you." And that impressed Nathanael. He was quite impressed, and because of that, he followed Jesus. But Jesus knows our hearts even before we know him. He knows our inner motives. And I think that should be a comfort to us to know that. To know that he knows about us and what our intents are before we even know him. And let's, like Nathanael, choose to follow Jesus because of that. So are you one of Jesus' disciples today? Are you a faithful follower that Jesus can count on? Are you willing to serve in the lowly task that you're called to? You willing to suffer and die like most of the disciples did? Jesus wants ordinary men and women that are willing to give up everything and follow him. And he can bless you today where you are if you are willing to do that. The song ends, "We are his disciples, we his work must do." So let's do that as we have opportunity this week. Tell others about Jesus. Be one of his disciples today, because Jesus needs disciples to tell others about him. Let's kneel for prayer.